It is time now to check in with our friend Pam Perry. Pam's our regular guest each month. Retired DNR non-game wildlife biologist from the Brainerd area. Welcome back, Pam. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Heidi and John.
Morning,
Great
Pam.
Great to see you both.
Yeah, lovely to see you as well. So you were up at Scenic State Park, one of my favorite little local parks. What did you find?
Well, yes, I was, and it was the first time I camped there.
Ah.
And I've been to many state parks, and my closest park here in Brainerd is Crow Wing State Park, which is south of Brainerd. And I've been down there many times. But my group kind of was looking at another place to go, and we went up to Scenic, north of Grand Rapids, and it was beautiful. It exceeded my expectations, let me put it that way. The pines, I knew there was going to be a lot of big old-growth pines, but the campgrounds were beautiful, and lots of privacy, lots of trees. And then, of course, we had this weather at the end of September that was warm during the day, cool at night, no rain, clear skies at night. So we sat around the campfire and looked at the stars and watched for satellites and things like that. It was a very, very nice trip. And we were hiking. We do a lot of hiking. We all have dogs, and we kind of head out and put some miles on. And one of the hikes we did, we went up north to Pine Lake. And it just looked like you were even in Canada. It was just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And I had been to Scenic a number of years ago, quite a couple decades or more ago, doing old growth pine evaluation. And this is when I was working for the DNR. And we were kind of sent around to areas to find the best old growth, the biggest, oldest trees. And Scenic was one of the places where we found them, where they hadn't really been logged 100 years, 120 years ago. They were remote enough that they were left and big. So it was kind of nice to go back. It was a great camping. I hope a lot of our listeners get out camping, visiting state parks, doing that sort of thing. We were looking for some of the boreal birds. There were a lot of golden-crowned kinglets. There were lots of white-throated sparrows, red-breasted nuthatches. And one in our group found a black-backed woodpecker, we don't see them much down here in Crow Wing County.
You got to be pretty lucky up here, too.
Someplace else that's different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got white-throated sparrows at my feeder, and I've got both mature adults and the immatures. I have to look at them with my binoculars. You can just see that hint of yellow starting right above the beak. And this past week, I had Harris sparrows.
Yes, I heard you mention that earlier, because I have white-throated sparrows here now, too. We don't, they just arrived not that long ago. And I always look at all of the, if I get a bunch of the, and often they're in flocks. So you look through the flock, you look at all of them, just to see if there's somebody else in there.
Yeah.
And somebody else, I mean, a Harris sparrow or a white crown sparrow can mix in. And Harris's sparrow, I mean, and I know people go, oh, sparrows, I can't identify them. They're all just brown and look the same. Harris's sparrow has the black on the face and under the bill. It's very distinct, and it's big. You mentioned that, too. I think it's 7.5 inches long.
Yeah.
So this is a big sparrow, bigger than the white throats.
It's like bluebird size.
Which are just under 7 inches.
Yeah. Speaking of the white-throated, I heard one song this past week. Just one. And it was just clear as a bell right out of, this is the time of year when if you're listening, you might hear a crow or a raven. You might hear robins kind of chuck, not not just chipping and chatting back and forth, just sort of like, I'm here, I'm over here, I'm over there, you know. But this guy, oh, sweet Canada, 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 just clear as a bell. And it was just, it made me smile. I was walking along and I just got a big grin.
Absolutely. And I've been hearing them too. And I heard them at Scenic, mostly just chipping, but then, oh, there's a song. And they're one of the few birds that will sing in the fall.
I was going to ask about that. What is that?
Yeah. And it's such a treat to hear them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what they are right away. So I was looking at this group of white-throated sparrows in my backyard, checking them all out. And I saw something else scratching in the leaves, throwing the leaves all over the place. And I'm going, well, maybe it's a fox sparrow, because they do that. And fox sparrows will come down in the fall. I'll see them. But it was a towhee.
Oh, my.
It was an eastern towhee.
Wow.
And I know that here in Crow Wing County, we're kind of on the northern edge of their range. And they do occur here. I've seen them before. They do breed here. But I don't think they go up to Itasca County. Or it's very rare.
I have not seen one. I'd have to talk to Sean Conrad. He'd be the guy, the connection up here. If there is one, he would have heard of it or seen it, but I have never seen one up here. I saw my first one in Tennessee, and I was like, what is that? You know?
What is that? And when I lived in Florida, they were all over the place. They were super common there. And they're so distinct. You can't mistake them for anything else. The males are black, and then they have this chestnut side, and the females are brown with the chestnut side and the white belly.
Yeah.
And they're 8.5 inches long. So you really can't mistake them. But this one was throwing leaves all over, and I was totally surprised.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just pointed out to Heidi, there are Harris sparrows right outside the studio right now.
Oh, how many?
Well, I see one for sure. They're kind of hanging out under this spruce tree, so it's a little hard to pick them out, but there are two adults with the strong black mark from head to chest.
And the immatures are not as distinct.
The black on the immature that I saw was more below the beak and not much above. Mm-hmm. Sort of a
not
brownish.
Not much up above.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Well, that's great. It's just one of the things going on right now is that we have these birds moving through, and it's really worth taking a moment to look and see what you got in your backyard or when you're out for a walk.
You mentioned the fox sparrow, and the one that I associate right with it is the American tree sparrow, and they both come through this month. Sometime in October, I'll see my first ones. And they're always an exciting bird to see as well.
Yes, yes. And I'll get both of them down here, too. And then the tree sparrows will linger even into the Christmas bird count time in December.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've gotten them at that time. Let me say one more thing about white-throated sparrows.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. They breed in northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and Canada. And then they winter in the southern U.S., south of Minnesota. And so enjoy them while they're here and enjoy listening to the song.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a report from Chad Caddett's Little Falls group, and they said that they had a Baltimore Oriole. Now, Chad is very good, and I'm certain that if those kids saw it, they probably got it right. What do you know about Orioles? This is not the time of year I look for Orioles.
I haven't seen one for quite a while.
Yeah.
They've been gone. So I heard that report and I went, And my first thought is, what else could it be?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they're pretty distinct.
What about a red start? Could it have been a red start?
No, go ahead.
What about a red start? Could it have been a red start? Or I haven't seen one of them in a long time either. So,
no, they're gone too.
Yeah, yeah,
they're gone. They're all All those birds are all heading down to the tropics where they can still find bugs and fruit and where it doesn't get icy, as it will here.
That's all right. The chickadees will still be here, and they'll be happy about it.
The chickadees will be here. We'll have finches and others.
Yeah.
John, I did hear you mention earlier buckthorn control.
Oh, yes.
And and getting someone on to talk about that. You know, and my current method for buckthorn control is to snip all the shoots and just cut them all off. And I'll be getting into the time to do that here shortly. And they'll show up so well because the leaves are
good. Right. Yeah. It is. If after the middle of October you have a plant in your yard that still has green leaves on it, it's either going to be a willow or a buckthorn. And a close examination, not even a close examination, just a cursory exam will tell you which one it is. So,
and you'll pick them right out.
Yeah.
And the other birds I've been seeing, I'm still seeing robins, of course, yellow-rumped warblers. And otherwise, you know, it's kind of settling into the winter birds.
You know, I've had a really good fall for woodpeckers. I've been putting out suet, and I have a family of pileated woodpeckers. I have downy, hairy, and red-bellied. So I've got downy, hairy, pileated, red-belly. Now, the red-belly is kind of intermittent. He showed up here a couple of days ago. I haven't seen him all summer or all winter and all summer. And I have both a male and a female, if I can trust my eyes. There are two, and they have different amounts of red on their heads. Now,
right. Look at the forehead. If the red on the forehead comes all the way down to the bill, it's a male.
Okay, good.
If it has a gray forehead, it's a female.
And speaking of...
I have them here year-round, and they nest here. I see them every day.
Speaking of the woodpeckers, you and I had a little discussion, both on air and off air, and you had told me that the young downy males and the young hairy males have a red patch that forms on the top of their head and migrates to the back. I'm wondering, has that occurred? Because I have a lot of woodpeckers coming to the feeder, and I don't see any with the red on the top of their head anymore.
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Okay.
I haven't seen it either. But it's during the nesting season early on, and they must molt it out and then go into their full adult plumage.
Okay.
Because no, I'm not seeing it either. It's gone.
I did have a couple of incidences with the pileated. One, I had a downy and a pileated on the suet at the same time. And I don't know if the downy was just so small that the pileated didn't see it or what, but they were both having suet from opposite sides of the cake. And that was pretty spectacular. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
And the size difference is so dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, downies are small and pileateds are big. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say we've run out of time.
Damn.
There's so much more to talk about. And Pam, I took your advice, and I'm looking right now at Birdcast coming out of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. It says 2,691 birds crossed over Itasca County last night.
Oh my!
Isn't that cool to know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
We're in migration. Birds are moving through. Waterfowl are moving. We didn't even touch on waterfowl.
No.
that's great. I'm glad you looked that up, Heidi.
Yeah, it's fun to see. Birdcast is what it's called. You can check it out as well. Pam, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely, Pam.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
I'll see you next month.
We look forward to it. Thank you.